You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan film.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own reality.
Cue the outrage.
We are the pop culture professors.
Pencils down now.
Smart people, dumb topics forever.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
Yes, welcome. We're the pop culture professors. I'm Caitlin Bitsagai.
I'm Lauren Brickman. And you know, we're a couple of smart people talking about some dumb topics.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right. Mm-hmm. We have master's degrees. We've taught college students. And Lauren, you actually recently told me you're a lawyer.
Yes, it is true. I did get an email from a student that was trying to ask me for legal advice. I think I'm still very confused about the exchange I had at midnight last night. But, you know.
Wow, midnight.
Yeah. You know, that's something they don't tell you about when you sign up for being a teacher, that students will find a way to contact you literally 24 hours a day.
What happened to working 9 to 5? Dolly is a liar.
I can't even believe sometimes. And like, I'll put things on silent, but then I'll like be like, I mean, I guess I'll respond. I'm awake too. I don't know.
And then it, you know, it just creates hopefully less trouble for you the next day, but who knows?
Yeah. Especially when the class is the next morning, you're like, well,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you had to show up at court at like 6 a.m. to help her.
Yeah. And then there's that.
We're not here to just talk about the intricacies of law, which we are experts on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, we're here to talk about stanning.
Yes, yes. To be an obsessive fan of something or someone. Caitlin, what are you stanning right now? What is keeping you going these days?
Well, I am stanning a show, and hopefully it's end soon, which is Love Island. British, only watching the UK version, not watching America or Australia. Okay. I'm excited that it's ending this week. We're talking about a show that has over 50 episodes a season. Mm. I don't want to think about what I could have been doing with that time. Please, no one bring it up. I guess it's about young people dating, and they live on Love Island, but it's a villa.
Now, do you think it's because you met your husband so young? Is that the appeal? Or are you like getting to relive your wild 20s through these young hot people?
I'm sure if I was single, my life would be exactly like Love Island. That's what I've always thought about you. It would be so much like that.
So is it a little bit like a sliding door? Like you're like, wow, this is what it could have been if I just made one different choice?
It's exactly like that. You've nailed the appeal in every way. It's weird too, because they pair up, but then there's a winner that's chosen by the British public. That seems like totally unrelated to anything, but you know, I am rooting for Davide and Ek and Sue.
I love that.
Two complete lunatics who I don't believe are in love, but they think it's very funny that they're together. So I respect the humor of it.
I love that. I do.
What are you standing, Lauren?
You know, I've been standing the same thing since about July 15th. It's now a couple weeks later, and I can't stop listening to Lizzo's new studio album Special. I just can't. Fair. And I feel like I really liked it when it first came out, but I feel like I have had a week. It's been a rough week, and there's something about this album. I felt like Lizzo was hanging out with me, keeping me company, keeping me smiling this week. And I just, thank you, Lizzo. And I just have to say, I've said this before. I don't know if on this podcast or just to myself late at night, but I don't know if there is another celebrity alive that I have more confidence in. I genuinely know in my heart of hearts, I believe in my core, Lizzo and I are supposed to be friends. Like, I don't, right. I'm not trying to like ask her to help me with my career. Like, just like we are supposed to be on a group chat. We're supposed to be buddies. We're supposed to be hanging out because Lizzo, like, thank you for making me feel special this week, girl.
Oh, that's so great.
I love her so much. And I just, like, I want to be there for her, too. Because I was like, man, Lizzo, I want to be your cheerleader.
Did I ever tell you that I saw Lizzo live when she was very first out? Like, she had maybe one single. And she was at Louisville, Kentucky's Pride event. This was a free concert on the waterfront. She was great. But she only had, like, 5 songs. It wasn't a full concert.
Yeah. Well, I will say my one complaint about this album is it is too short. There should be more songs. But you know what? Leave them wanting more. And
maybe
we're
getting a B-sides coming up.
Ugh. From your lips to God's ears, may it happen. I need it.
Well, you know, it could happen because I did make something happen.
What did you make happen?
I got today's guest to be on the show.
Oh, you sure did.
Please welcome to the show, Jason Sweeten.
Hello, hello. I've been got. I love it. It's so good to be here.
I've been got.
I love it.
And I support a Lizzo Lauren friendship. Like, that has to happen.
Oh,
yes.
thank you. I know she, friend of the show, Rachel Sue McKay, lived in the same apartment building that Lizzo lived in at one point.
Wow.
And when she first moved there, she was like, I've heard rumors that Lizzo has been too busy to move out and she's just always on the road. So she was like, she might still live here. So I spent like an entire day just at the pool hoping I'd see Lizzo.
Wow.
And I did not meet Lizzo that day, but I did get an incredible sunburn.
Incredible.
Thank you so much.
What a great story to tell her, though, when you're friends.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, you see this cancer spot? That's from the day I got a supper waiting for you. Because I'm very, that's my Irish blood coming through. One day in the sun, you're going to be marked for life.
You're cooked.
Turn me over. I'm a piece of Irish bacon. What can I say? But shockingly, sunburns are not the theme of today's show.
No, today we're talking about games. Games in media, board games. We got an expert with us, Jason.
Oh, yes. Jason, so thrilled to be here. Yes, let's talk games. Let's roll some dice. How many dice are near you right now? For me, the answer is like 25. So.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Jason Sweeten, always ready to play a game at a moment's notice. If there's one thing I know about Jason Sweeten, it's that at any given moment, he is designing a game, playing a game, writing sketch shows about games. Like, this guy lives, breathes, bleeds.
Love them.
He bleeds games. Have you ever seen him bleed? I saw a whole chess board fall out of his heart once.
It's real. I just store them inside. It's really tough to walk around and run. But otherwise, I'm very fun.
Wow. So he's credentialed. Yes. Lauren, what is your credential to discuss?
I guess the closest thing I have is I did once play a game, a one-day-only campaign that Jason was the D&D master of. The one and only time I played D&D was with Jason. I did feel strongly that I would not be necessarily missed if I did not go in the next campaign, but I did play once.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. That's supposed to be a thing. Like, I'll go to a game night. I don't always get invited back.
You were amazed. You were, I think, like a witch that lived outside of the death house we were exploring, and you would, like, play a little bit, kill some monsters, leave. It was great.
The thing about me is I will make a bold choice out of left field because I'm just like, who cares? Right. And that has also gotten me into trouble occasionally at trivia nights. But I will say I am fresh off a win at the neighborhood trivia night this past Tuesday, front of the show. Kate, our sometimes correspondent on live shows doing deep dives into niche pop culture, and I did win, and we did get a $40 credit for next week.
Wow. Are you defending your title?
I will be out of town.
Oh, convenient. Yes. Convenient.
I'll circle back sometime next year. But Caitlin, what is your credential this week?
Well, I did take a chess class in college, which was pretty fun. This very quirky professor taught it, who was also the owner of the local video store. He had very great, this was the aughts, but he had very great 90s vibes. You know, he was that kind of guy. A friend of the show who's certainly never listened, Chris Wagner, has took it with me. But, you know, I'm actually upset because often when I give a credit, I reference some sort of weird professional gig that I've done. And I cannot believe it seems so right up my alley that I would have written like sketch for a toy con or something. And the fact that hasn't happened, I feel like is like a pretty glaring omission.
You just reminded me, I performed at a toy con once.
What'd well,
there you go. See, all the more.
Story Pirates got invited to perform at ToyCon. And while I was there, this is the beautiful thing about the wild life of being a performer. At ToyCon, I heard a voice go, Lauren. And I turned around and a girl I had been an intern with at when I was in college, she had gotten engaged to a guy who was like the son of a toy empire. And she was just there with him. And it was like the wildest moment of my life. And I was like, what? Anyways.
But this explains that Story Pirates is eating up all the toy gigs. That makes it's perfect true. Sense.
Yeah, Story Pirates has a corner on that market. On it. So that's why you're not there. Yeah. Sorry. That's why you're not there. Well, obviously, we're all really credentialed. So I think it's time to play our first game. Are you all ready to play our first game?
Yes.
So, Jason, because I've seen your artistry as a dungeon master, I knew we had to do something with D&D.
Yes.
And I was thinking about how in my classroom, students have been very excited about D&D because of Stranger Things. They all wanted to get into it because there's apparently a huge campaign going on with one of my cohorts. But that made me think about the fact that these young whippersnappers, they don't realize that D&D, it's been impacting pop culture for a lot longer than Stranger Things has been around. So I'm going to test your knowledge, Jason, with a little game called They D&D'd or Didn't D&D, Didn't They? And so I'm going to give you a name of a TV show, and you're going to tell me, did they or didn't they D&D?
Oh, this is good, because they just had to do one episode of it. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, okay.
Okay, some of these are hopefully very obvious. Some of these might not be. All right, the first one. Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
Did they D&D? Oh, yeah. You said that so confidently.
How could they not? I've not seen that show, but how could they not have played D&D? Like, I feel like we could pull up the trailer right now and it'd be like open on them playing D&D. Like, that's got to be the whole show. Yeah.
It is not the whole show, but it is a big plot line in the 18th and final episode.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It often gets in like roundups about D&D. It mentions how it shows. One of the reasons people love that episode is because it shows how D&D reaches across social groups to bring people together. All right. Here's this next one. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ooh, I still say yes because it was on for so long and had so many episodes that there had to be one, like, haunted game master that affects the school. Like, it just feels like a yes, but it could be, if I'm wrong, it's a good question.
You know what? You're right. They did. Yes. But it was, once again, in the finale.
What?
There's a game. They're playing a game of D&D in the finale episode, and I think that's the only reference to it in the whole series.
Wow, what a weird...
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Trend.
Okay. All right. Well, Jason, you're 2 for 2. Your reasoning skills are unparalleled. Let's see if you can keep the streak going with this next one. A show I know we both used to watch, but have we continued to? Riverdale. Oh.
Okay. So I have heard that there is like a later season plot about like a D&D cult. I don't know if they technically call it Dungeons and Dragons. So this could be a trick question where it's like they're playing Pathfinder or they're playing like Monsters and Mayhem and it's not technically D&D. But because of things that I've heard, I'm going to still say yes.
Jason, way to show your work, because technically no, but yes, because as we know with Riverdale, every now and then they get worried about legality, I think, and they sometimes don't call things by their real names, and sometimes they do. This is a perfect example. They play a very D&D inspired game, but they call it Griffins and Gargoyles.
Griffins and Gargoyles.
Good name. I like that.
Wow, yeah. That works. It has to be alliterative, but it's just too
That seems like a younger, like a child's onboarding game to Dungeons and Dragons.
It's very friendly.
Like friendlier.
We got little eagles and stone statues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. All right. Here's your next one. What about The Sopranos?
This feels like no. I also feel like the previous questions have all been yes, so I've got to get a no in there somewhere. So I'm gonna say no.
Damn it, Jason, your pacing skills are too good. It was a no. But I was really hoping today I would discover there was a reference to D&D in there, and I could not find any proof. But if someone out there could find proof, let me know.
Because and it's then, not- if we can verify it didn't happen, that's obviously a Jason Sweeten sketch.
Yeah.
Would love to.
The Sopranos play D&D.
I'm going to tell you this. I have not watched it since it's originally aired, and I will not. That's just not a thing that's for me personally. But I respect anyone that does. All right, this next one. Big Bang Theory.
Yes. Yeah, they have to have. Yes.
Yeah. You're correct. And I remember this because this was a default show. I'd come home, and I cannot tell you how many times I found my grandmother watching this show. But I promise you she doesn't know what the show was about, and she couldn't name a single character. But I can tell you that there was a recurring theme of D&D on the show.
My dad loves Big Bang Theory. He loves those nerds.
All right, last one.
Oh, I'm so close to perfection, but that's not the goal
of this. You're so close. Can you graduate with a perfect score? What about Gilmore Girls?
Oh, this one's tough. My inclination is no, because of just the tone of the show. It was on for many seasons, so like I could have seen, you know, in the college years, she stumbles into a D&D game at school or something. It feels I'm going to have to go with no. Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the point because no, they never played it. However, they did make a joke about it that fans are still mad about. I found a thread on Reddit or something today that was talking about a joke made in season 2, episode 13, the Atisket Atasket episode where they're like auctioning off Lorelai, and Lorelai makes a snarky joke about these two guys that were going to bid on her, like looking like they could play D&D or something. Sure. There's some snarky. Yeah.
Derogatory.
And I found a post on some blog somewhere where some guy was like, it was hard enough to just agree to watch Gilmore Girls. And I was trying to get into it. But after this, I won't be continuing.
Good for him. Stand up for what you believe in.
I'm glad the men of Reddit finally can express their true feelings and how they've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
D&D is an easy like thing to make fun of in that ways, but it's really a lovely game. And I could go on just a soapbox of how people should play it all the time. It's great. It's amazing. But it is an easy way of like making fun of nerds.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like Amy Sherman Palladino's best.
But I have to say, Jason, perfect score.
Thank you. Yes.
Yay!
Oh my gosh.
What a good student.
Thank you. I'm so proud.
Yes. Now, I have a question. Did I leave any out that you were expecting?
Oh gosh.
Are there any D&D moments that you were like,
because I mean, like Stranger Things you covered. Mm-hmm, Community has like a very famous D&D episode with Blackface. It's real good. Real good use there. And I'm trying to think of any others. There is like a new cartoon sort of based off of a D&D game, but that would have been too easy for me. I would have known that immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now, yes. Let me ask you this. Is there a TV show that you enjoy that you think would benefit from a D&D plot line?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I would just like to see the women of Hax play D&D. I don't know why they would.
There we go. Yeah. Unexpected.
But just to like, to just see them be very upset by that game. I don't even know who, I guess the millennial writer, what is her name? I'm blanking on it. Would just somehow integrate that in some way. But yeah, that just to watch them flail through that would be mm-hmm. a joy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caitlin, can you think of a show where you think they could benefit from a game of D&D?
I mean, Love Island.
obviously.
Actually, bringing in a Dungeon Master and making like a reality show play it with like a few experts would be really funny.
I can't stop thinking about, when I decided to ask this question, I immediately had an answer, and now I can't stop making myself laugh. And I really hope that in season two of The Bear, they start playing the game. And I just want to imagine that it's like Marcus, played by Lionel Boyce, brings it in, and slowly, one by one, we find them all falling in love with it. And I think by the end, Richie is just, he wants to be.
He's the one
you
want to see play it. Yeah.
I feel like he and Tina get really into it, and mm-hmm. it's fun. And mm-hmm. I just want them to have hobbies.
They need to calm down, and they need to yell at something that's not each other. They need to.
There we go. Right? They could channel so much of their aggression into the game.
You know, they got all the tables at the restaurant, and mm-hmm. so like they'd have all of the space. Half the problem is finding a space to meet. And so they've already got the restaurant. So yeah.
Oh, is that the biggest issue when you're
playing
D&D?
At least in New York, it's like, who has a room without roommates around that you can actually just like have a table together? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Jason, thank you so much for being the master of D&D.
Of course. It's a thrilling game. I will talk to it at length. When the pandemic hit, I was playing 8 games at once. So, like, it's sometimes a problem in my life.
Problem or passion?
Explain what is the duration, like, I guess the campaigns can be of different lengths.
Exactly. Like, so like a session will usually go between 2 and 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you know, you sit down and you kill some monsters, you explore some dungeon, you know, go through some story. But the campaign itself could be anywhere from like, you know, just that one session you show up and you play and you're done, or it could go on for years. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
What is the longest campaign you've ever been a part of?
Done one that was at least like 100 sessions. And I know that number because I would take the notes for it. And so like I just had like, you know, session 55, this happened, and there's just like a page write up of what happened during that session.
Wow.
Which had like interconnecting Google Docs, like detailing the dungeon we were exploring, just because it was that detailed that we would get confused as to like how to navigate Undermountain, as it was called. So yeah.
Oh my god. What are you currently on any campaigns?
Yes, so I'm running 2 games right now. One is called Rima the Frost Maiden, where it starts off in just like a horrible icy tundra of tiny towns that are plagued by a winter snowstorm, and then you find secrets of the arcane of like an old city that crash landed into the ice thousands and thousands of years ago, which is a delight. It's very spooky. I'm also running one game that has all gay players, and all they want to do is do drag shows when they go to towns. So it's literally like, what they just want, like, what they want to know what the bar is, and then they perform and they explain how their drag performances are infused with magic, and it's a delight.
That is a TV show I want to watch, like D&D, but make it gay. I want to see like the gay community in this witchy world, and yeah. Sign me up. Yeah, I'm all in.
That's the joy. D&D can be the gayest thing ever, because you be whatever you want. So just be gay.
just might as well make it gay. I have one last question about D&D. For those that are like, okay, I've been hearing about D&D for my entire lifetime, I've never tried it. What's your elevator pitch to get someone to play?
Oh gosh, my elevator pitch, like, it is structured fun with friends. Do you want to like have a friend group that meets every other week or every week? That's like tough to manage and is really, I think, important in life. And so like that, I think there's a lot of value in that. Like the games that I play with, these people I've been friends with like for 5 years, we send each other gifts on each other's birthdays. We go to cabins together and play the game together. There is like a real like small community in this like little group. And so I think it's like, it's work to make friends, and like this is sort of makes it fun to like have people in your life regularly.
Yeah.
And if you want to run a game, if you want to play D&D, run the game yourself.
I love it. Structured fun with friends. You love to see it. All right. Well, we're going to quickly structure some fun into our calendars, and we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
All right, we've got structured fun planned for the next 100 sessions. And now it's time to get into something really important. Yes. Caitlin, you have a really important thesis today. And I will say this, when I saw the names in the run of show that you were going to mention, I couldn't for the life of me have possibly anticipated this is where we would go today. I'm just going to say that.
Okay. So I want to talk about Seinfeld and what I think is the funniest, one of the funniest plots, which is that Kramer and Newman play Risk. And I'll just show you a couple clips.
Are you sure you know where the impound yard is?
Oh, stop stalling. Come on.
I can't think. It's all this noise.
Or is it because I've built a stronghold around Greenland? I've driven you out of Western Europe? And I've left you teetering on the brink of complete annihilation?
I'm not beaten yet. I still have armies in the Ukraine.
The Ukraine. You know what the Ukraine is? It's a sitting duck. A road apple, Newman. The Ukraine is weak. It's feeble. I think it's time to put the hurt on the Ukraine.
I come from Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak.
Yeah, well, we're playing a game here, pal.
Ukraine has came to you. How about I take your little Boris?
So that is the beginning of the introduction of the fact that Newman and Kramer are playing Risk. I was gonna say they don't trust each other. That's not true. Newman does trust Kramer. Kramer does not trust Newman. So they set it up in Jerry's apartment and eventually take it with them everywhere they go in New York, including this scene that oddly topical. Didn't expect this, but.
Yeah. Come in.
Where can I put this?
What is it?
It's Risk, Jerry. The game of world conquest. All right, that's perfect.
Kramer, why do you have to... Hello, Newman.
Hello, Jerry. Will he take it? I gotta go to work.
Take what?
The board, Jerry. We've been playing at Newman's for 6 hours, but he's gotta go.
So why don't you leave it at Newman's?
I wanted to. He won't let me.
We have to put the board in a neutral place where no one will tamper with it.
So that's here?
Yes, yes. You're like Switzerland.
I don't want to be Switzerland.
Jerry, Newman and I are engaged in an epic struggle for world domination. It's winner take all. People cannot be trusted.
Don't look at me.
Oh, I'm looking right at you, Big Daddy. All right, soldier boys, let's fall out. Yeah. All right, so you're going to look after it.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I would knock over a game board if someone was playing on the train. Like, get away.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. But what I found funny thinking about this, their behavior, is that, like, Kramer and Newman are, like, identified as the craziest people on the show. But everything they do is that they just, like, heighten something that's actually normal that anyone would want to do, like play a game, and then they get too serious about it. Whereas the other three characters are constantly in pursuit of just, like, petty grievances with other human beings or, you know, doing things like, you know, getting a soup recipe in hopes of closing the soup Nazi down, moving a video game across the street like Frogger so that you can maintain your one sense of glory. Like, these are things they do. When you actually think about Newman and Kramer, their desires are not that weird. And this gaming episode made me realize it. Like, part of the thing is these are just two guys that like to have fun that live next to three sociopaths.
Yeah.
Because there's other times like where they go to the Mets game, but then of course they think that Keith Hernandez has spat on them, which probably didn't happen. They want to have a millennial party, and Newman doesn't want Jerry there because Jerry sucks. Like, that's actually all normal. And this this Risk episode, as silly as it is, I was like, at least someone's having fun.
True.
You can't fault them.
So I just thought that was interesting, because Risk and the way, like, Risk is a super self-serious game, it's a game of world domination. They're using that, I guess, like the Gilmore Girls episode, to kind of make fun of these two guys. But, like, when I really analyze it, I'm like, no, they're cool. I like them, and it made me want to try. I've tried to play Risk before, and a lot of these games are too complicated for me, but I do admire it.
Yeah.
That's another reason. I'm like, they're smart if they can follow Risk.
Anything that, like, a 6 hour, because that game takes forever, as far as I know. Like, it is just, I played it once as a child at a friend's house. I was like, well, that was all we did, was play this one game. It eats up time, like nothing. Yeah.
That was a game, like, I remember, I didn't really know people that played D&D in college, but I knew people that were such serious Risk players. And shout out to my honors college crew, you know who you were. There was a crew of them that were, like, a combination of, it was like honors kids and mostly theater honors kids who were, like, some of the biggest stoners and some of the smartest people. And you would just see, like, a puff of smoke and them playing Risk in random parts of the campus. And I loved it.
Right. Well, I think this goes back to, it's interesting how game playing is used to say something about a character. But I'm not sure that it really, like, translates if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of use game playing to be like, these people are dorks. But I'm not sure. I'd like to see that differently on the show. And I think the bear is actually a great choice, Lauren. Like, if we saw the characters of the bear playing games, I don't think you would think it's signaling that they're, like, dorky. It's like, it's signaling that they want to have fun and have a beer, structured beer friend time, as Jason would say.
Well, and that they also, like, that it's like you could put them in any scenario and, like, their personalities are going to be like Richie is going to be like too much in any situation,
right. The games are good as a plot device because like, you think, oh, Kramer and Newman are both the ones that are, like, kind of nuts, but you see how they're quite different actually in how they approach that game. It's a good, honestly, as writers, it's like a good episode to think of, even if you don't write that for, like, your pilot, but, like, how would your characters approach a game night is kind of a great concept.
Yeah, I feel like there was, like, a lot of shows that did it with escape rooms. It was just like, there was a, once escape rooms hit, it's like, we're gonna see every show, because you just, it's putting people into like a high pressure situation that's out of their comfort zone. It's gonna bring out some tip of their personality that's gonna either ruin the game or help them solve it in some way.
Right. Escape rooms.
What?
Wow.
Smart.
I've never done
smart. Oh, wow. Jason's going to need a moment to recover.
I have made an escape room for my apartment. It lives underneath my bed.
I've never done one, and I've been on a UCB house team. What a unique snowflake I am.
Yes, you are a unicorn. Oh, my gosh.
Jason came to one with me one year. We did one once for my birthday.
But I think it's time to play another game.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jason. This one's called Gamer or Lamer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm going to give you a celebrity, and you are going to tell me if they are self-identified gamer. And in this sense, I mean not video games.
Oh.
Some sort of other, like board game or something else. Mm-hmm. Not video games.
Yes. Interesting.
Or if they're lamer, they have got nothing or no, I couldn't find any evidence.
Yeah, all right,
Chris Evans.
Oh, gamer, D&D, I think specifically.
I could not find evidence. He is lamer.
Oh, really? Oh, I must be,
there's a lot of Chris's.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Okay.
All right. Vin Diesel.
Oh, this one. Yeah. D&D. There's D&D Diesel is like a show that he is on.
Oh my God.
Wow.
He's amazing.
I had no idea.
Usually any man that looks like he's like super jacked also has somehow gotten into D&D. So like Vin Diesel, The Rock.
Love that.
Yeah. Strong men. Love it.
Wow.
Rob.
Kendall Jenner.
No,
I don't believe she's ever played a game.
Yeah.
I don't think she's, she wouldn't know where to start.
No. Yeah. It just seems like that's not her. Gabrielle Union.
Oh, gosh. I have no reason for yes or no on this. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say Gabrielle Union loves to play a game.
Apparently, she loves Scrabble.
All right.
Oh, love that for her.
Yeah. Huge Scrabble head. Yeah. Makes sense. She's a writer, you know?
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Oh, gosh. No.
It doesn't feel... Something about that feels wrong.
It's foreign.
Kristen Stewart and Dax Shepard.
Oh, both of them together. Gosh, they seem annoying enough as a couple. I feel like they've probably done like couples board game ads. Have they hosted a game show together?
Ooh.
I have to just say yes, because I feel like from a branding perspective.
I completely agree. Apparently they're into Settlers of Catan.
Yeah. Oh.
But I'm with you. I'm surprised they haven't co-hosted like a game show version of a board game.
I imagine
that seems right.
It probably just simply because of scheduling. They just like it's in the works. They're talking about it.
They've been pitched.
Maybe he just wants to do it with Monica.
Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
I don't think so.
Oh, gasp. Wow. Michelle, have some fun. Play get. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think she needs to loosen up, maybe.
Bring a switch on the plane or something.
One thing about.
Bring a switch on the plane, Michelle Yeoh. Yes.
I know you're busy being perfect in all other ways, but if you could please be in the gamer.
It's probably just maintaining that. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
All right. George Lopez.
Oh, gosh. No.
Lamer. But another one that kind of like probably had the opportunity to be a host of like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tic-Tac-Doe, I'm sure, before it was fictionalized, was pitched to everyone. So, yeah.
All right. Seth Green.
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. D&D.
That adds up. Yeah.
All right. Chris Rock.
Lamer?
Loves chess, apparently.
All right.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's it.
Okay.
I have to say, what made me interested is that there's like Kristen Stewart, Dax Shepard, Seth Green, Freddie Prinze Jr. also, I didn't even include, but apparently is into stuff. There's definitely like a certain, like, they're all about 42 years old right now, Hollywood people that like love games.
Like Stephen Colbert will talk about his like secret D&D group a lot, or I think it's a way of just like having like a little, like within the celebrity niche culture, there's like a smaller pocket of us that like.
Yes. And remember in Ocean's 11 where they had the like teen underground poker game?
Ooh.
When they have a sequel, they should have you being a dungeon master for like those same people. Like now are learning.
I'll look at my schedule. Look, I am available. Wow. Yeah. So I can do that. Yes.
I also wanted to, when I was looking up celebrities and games, I found this, which did you know that Britney Spears had a game?
No.
What was it called?
Would you believe it's a version of Twister?
That makes sense. This adds up. Yeah.
I'm listening.
But would you believe it's from 2012?
No.
Not like 2000.
This makes me sad now.
How did this happen?
I want to show you the commercial.
Yeah, please.
Found.
There was a commercial.
way to rock the spots, ladies.
Huh.
You know, I just want to say way to rock the spots, ladies. The listeners that didn't see it, it's clearly, it's like five or six girls. They're so excited to see Britney Spears. It couldn't be clearer that she's not in that room with them, that it's a body double from the back. And then they turn it around and she did it in like 2 minutes on an iPhone 3. But I just can't believe that existed when she was 30 years old. Like, not like 18.
That's crazy.
It's just really strange. That
is absolutely
bonkers. Just Dance Dance Revolution, but with like little dots.
Yes.
It also looks more like Simon Says than Twister because it's four colors on a spot. You only get five songs from her. Who picked the five? So how could you pick five Britney Spears songs? I am just overwhelmed by this product.
And they make it quite clear that the speaker you get is bad. Because the audio goes from playing in the commercial to playing in the speaker, and it's very
awful.
Bad.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
This
absolutely
is just
unhinged.
Of all of Jamie Spears' crimes, let's add this to the list. This was not okay to have a 30-year-old woman have her own version of Twister.
No. Absolutely
upsetting.
Not okay.
Upsetting.
Very upsetting.
And you know, Britney's not into games.
She's not
into. So I think that this turned her off.
It's not in her nature. Her sons love Yu-Gi-Oh! I think, or or Dragon Ball Z. I think they often draw those anime, which
they're both good artists.
So it's in
cute.
I feel like Britney Spears would have a household that's supportive of games if she herself does not play them.
I think she could get into it in the right moment, especially since she does not like to drink. She's looking for social activities to do with friends. Maybe. I think it just depends whether, you know, people that went to her wedding, like Selena Gomez, maybe could help.
Selena can solve the mystery and help Britney find a good game. Yes.
Yeah, Selena gives off board game vibes more. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, and Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore is gaming.
Oh,
man.
She's gaming.
Drew's game, yeah. It's like she's playing Ticket to Ride every day, like texting everyone to come play that. She's got it.
She loves rain.
Yeah. She does love rain. She does really love it. Speaking of Drew Barrymore in the rain, did we all see the video that was cut together of in Hocus Pocus where they like turn the sprinkler on and the witches are like, but it's instead he turns the sprinkler and Drew's I love the rain. It's a great video. If you haven't seen it, find it. It's great. I watched it like five times in a row yesterday. I'm doing really well.
I think that's great. Well, while we all check out this clip, let's just take a quick break and, you know, we'll call some places where maybe, Lauren, you could go and stay for a while.
All right. We will be right back. All right, we're back. We don't have a lot of time before my ride gets here to take me to wherever it is I'm going. I've been told I shouldn't disclose too much. But in the meantime, while we're waiting, I want to ask you, when you hear the phrase true American, what does that mean to you?
It's New Girl. It's the New Girl episode.
Yeah, it is. It is. I just want to use my time today to pay tribute to something that I think is just one of the greatest achievements in television. And for those who don't remember or just need to be reminded, I'm going to play a little clip to ground us in the world of New Girl. Here is True American, the best game ever from New Girl.
We're all adults. What's the harm? We can do this with dignity, self-restraint, and dare I say, honor.
The game is true American.
1, 2, 3, 4, JFK, FBI!
King of the castle, baby!
Over Cleveland Road, 9 consecutive shots! Welcome to Ellis Island, folks. You're a Bill? You're a George? You're a Bill? You're Greek! Get out of here! You're a Greek, get out of here! He's got the play! Oh! Scatter!
I cast your shit on you!
My name is Eli Whitney, and I create
afraid of the cotton gin.
Oh God.
So they should be dead. They should be dead.
It is, for those who haven't caught on yet, it is one of the greatest drinking games. In one episode, they describe it as 50% drinking game, 50% life-size Candyland. Well, it's actually more like 75% drinking, 20% Candyland, and by the way the floor is molten lava. Actually, it's 90% drinking, and then it's got a loose Candyland-like structure to it. And I have been doing a very casual rewatch of the series, and this is this show, upon rewatching, there's a lot of things about this show that don't necessarily hold up, but this game does. And the commitment to this becoming part of the, like, fabric of the show, the amount of times they play this game, reference this game, bring this game back, is actually, on rewatch, insane. Because it starts relatively early in the show, and they're still playing up until the very end. Like, it will come at you at the most. They're not doing it all the time, but they do it enough that it really is wild. And what's so funny is one of the things I love the most about it is that they never take the time for us, the viewers, to like really understand how the game is played. And we're constantly reminded of that by like people that are just outside the group being like, are you ever going to teach me how to play the game? And they're like, no. But a lot of like huge iconic storytelling moments happen surrounding the game. Like, Nick and Jess, like, starting to get together. Jess and her, Sam, the doctor, breaking up. Like, there's Schmidt's mom and her partner being revealed that they're getting married. Like, there's so many important moments. And I just absolutely love it. And I do also want to say, when I was doing research on the game, I am in awe of something I discovered, which was, and I have to assume this is fan made, but, and I will share this on our social media platforms, but y'all, somebody made trueamericanrules.com, and people actually took the time and watched the episodes enough to create both working rules that make you able to play it at home, as well as the show rules, because there's some discrepancies, because there's some things that you see that, like, so trueamericanrules.com, beautiful. And now, I guess I really don't have as much of a thesis this week as a plea. I'm looking for some brave Americans that will play this with me. That's really what I came here today to say, is much like Jason is a dungeon master, I want to be a true American. And who wants to go on a campaign with me is what I'm asking.
I mean, I'm on board. Yeah, this is great.
Right? How
fun is
this? I want
to jump around and the floor is lava. Great. Yeah. Classic American game.
I love it. Classic American game. And I'm just so curious, are there games that you've ever seen on TV, like, that you've been like, ooh, I want to do this? Like, are there, like, have there ever been episodes that you're like, ooh, that looks so fun, I want to get in on it? Like, this makes me want to be part of the game.
The Parks and Rec episode, there was a game. What board game did her husband make that ruined him, that made no sense? I am blanking on this. That just, like, watching him, like, he made this, like, very complicated game that no one could understand. And it was, and just the dedication to, like, that much time spent into something just, like, warms my heart.
Yeah.
Because I, like, if someone was like, the game is 1 hour of understanding the rules and 2 hours of playing, I'm like, that's a fair trade-off. I would do that. So just that dedication to complexity, I really enjoy. And so, just that moment warmed my heart.
Was it the Cones of Dunshire?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Yeah. Just like, it looked like it had lots of elaborate props and details and looked like a pain, but just like, I would sit down and play that for sure. Because my brain just like turns on and just like, I want to do this now. I want to focus on the rules and this is how I'm having fun. Yeah. It sounds great. Yeah.
Caitlin, have you ever seen a game on TV?
I'm trying to think of fake games that I've seen. It's funny. All those comedies that are like the same era have one. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. Like, I realized, like, I assume it's partly because, A, you, for continuity purposes, you don't want to get in the weeds with a game that people actually know. So I get that. And then I'm also sure there's like, you know, copyright and licensing and like, and I'm sure like there are plenty of TV studios and networks and stuff have different overall deals, but like you start to get into are we allowed? So it's like, I'm like, oh, I love this creative solution. Cause it's like, yeah, we want to see people playing games together. Cause like, and I love it. And I think True American in particular speaks to me because it gets to the heart of one of the things I love the most, which is drinking. Yes. And so, but I was trying to remember, and Caitlin, this is a question for you. I was trying to, it reminds me of, like on It's Always Sunny when they're doing the drinking game across on the airplane.
Right. Yes, they have a game. They have a similar thing.
It's the baseball guy. It's the baseball guy episode.
Hi guys, it's Caitlin interrupting the episode from the editing booth. I just want to say the name of the Always Sunny in Philadelphia game is Charlie McDennis, the Game of Games. We know that. We just forgot. Lauren and I have always claimed to be Always Sunny stans, so we're very embarrassed that we couldn't come up with that name at the time. While we're here, I might as well mention that earlier in this episode, I called Kristen Bell Kristen Stewart, and no one corrected me. Did that make you feel insane? Because it did when I heard it. Anyway, back to the episode.
But anyways, I think I've realized that my favorite comedies are comedies that center around groups of friends that not only drink together, but they normalize drinking together by gamifying drinking together.
Sure. And
so I want to play True Americans, but I also feel a need to like invent one. Like, have you have you ever invented? Have either of you ever invented like an overly complicated game? Yeah, Jason's like, I mean, absolutely.
I was a child when I did this, but that's when you have the whimsy of inventing games. But yeah, it was called Robber, and we would play it on the trampoline, and everyone in my neighborhood had their own character sheet that when they came over to play it, I would give them stats and items that they would collect. And I think it was basically just like me trying to like tackle them on the trampoline. It's a miracle no one got hurt. But incredible. Sometimes it'd be like, I'd throw like a ball up in the air, and if they caught the ball, they'd get a prize or something, and if they threw the ball at me or you know, they would somehow defeat the monster. But yeah, it was like very, I would like draw their little characters on the sheet. It was detailed. It was called Robber, a Hummingbird Lane classic.
Wow. Hummingbird Lane.
Beautiful.
Wow. And when is that short film coming out? Hummingbird Lane, a story of children playing Robber.
Robert, yes. You know what? I'll add it to you know what? I needed a short film idea, so that's the top of my short film list ideas.
Great. There you go. You're
thank
welcome.
You, thank you.
Has there ever been a show that's based around people that do a game night together? Like Friends game night.
There's been a movie. There's that movie game night, which I think was woefully underrated, and actually
people loved it.
Speaking of New Girl, Lamour Morris is in it and is so funny in that movie. I love that movie, but I think it would be a great TV show. I remember when I saw the movie being like, oh, I wish this was a series. I want to live with this
friends. You have the league that's kind of like fantasy sports structured in that way. So that's game-like, but maybe not, you know, they're not playing Ticket to Ride. Yeah. I'll get my second shout-out to Ticket to Ride together every week.
Jason is sponsored by Ticket to Ride.
A classic game of trains and travel. It's great.
You are really doing it so well. I don't think there's been like a TV show. And it's such an easy, fun premise because you can have the same cast of characters, but you can also have the outliers, right? Like, I don't know. It's so fun. I would watch it. Should we write it?
Let's get going. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a draft of a D&D pilot. I'll dust it off. I need some new blood into it. So yeah, this is
sounds good.
Yeah. And because it's such a funny idea, right? Because that's what's so fun about game nights is like when they rotate, every host is going to host it differently. Because like Jason's going to do the D&D night. Caitlin is probably going to give us something classic. I'm going to guess like a Monopoly or like a Shoots and Ladders.
Classic.
And you're gonna come to my house and I'm gonna be like, tonight's a night we do play True Americans. Like I will commit to that bit and I will be like, it's here for heavy, because I was the girl in grad school, more than once, I hosted the like whatever pop culture drinking game we found that week. So like we once did the Dawson's Creek drinking game, which I don't think I've ever gotten so drunk so fast, because it was like every time Joey pushes her hair behind her ear, you drink.
You're done.
Every time, like I was literally on the floor in my apartment and I remember hearing tornado sirens going off and thinking, if this is how I go, this is how I go. Like just being at peace, knowing that I would have gone to my maker hearing the voice of Joey Potter in the distance.
Anyways. Well, glad you're here.
Wow, this really got off track. Apparently, I just really want to host a True Americans night. And there's really no thesis. There's just me begging you guys to come.
I'm there. We'll print out the rules and add more to it as we go. Love it. Yeah.
I love it. I'm a little worried my apartment might be too small to host, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll find someone.
We'll just try.
This is a way for you. You're trying to get one of us to volunteer.
I mean, I am my lovely
student over there. So. Honestly, I'm not sure any of us should host it.
Maybe we should rent a space at Champion Studios.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, we're problem solving. Yeah. You know, I think though, maybe the fun of it, I do have a lot of pillows, and I do think that the insane amount of pillows I have could be helpful for True American.
Yeah, because you need surfaces to jump on safely. Okay. It's the combination of like physical jumping and heavy drinking that does concern me for us playing this. But
well, you know what you really need? We got to find an abandoned discovery zone that still has all the stuff in it.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. If any of the stands have a lead on an abandoned discovery zone, but that's safe.
It could be one that we sneak into at night, so it could be abandoned for the evening. Like, that will also work.
Do we still have any of those, like, discovery zones? Or, like, what are they now?
They have those, trampoline parks are popular.
Okay, well, that sounds scary.
No, they have like a bunch of foam things you can jump in. There's one right out by your favorite thing, American Dream Mall.
There is?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I know what I got to do. I guess I got another adventure to go on. I'll scout it out and see if it's right for True American.
Just explain that to the manager. I'm an adult woman here by myself, but don't worry. I'm scouting it out to play the new girl.
We'll hide all of our drinks in like water bottles, so it'll be fine. The children won't know.
I clearly want to come after hours when there's no kids there. I don't want to play with any children.
This is fair.
My God, I'm trying to relax. I'm off the clock.
Fair. I'm trying to give you a
I want it to be my friends. Yeah. Just want my friends there.
Understood.
And this is when I get really angry that my uncle and aunt retired and moved away without my permission, because their house would have been great for True American. They had a great house for True American.
Did they have like a sectional? Trampoline floors?
Oh yeah. They had multiple floors. They had a big backyard. I just feel like it would have really worked.
They should Venmo you like $1,000 to make up for this.
Bare minimum. Rent. Absolute bare minimum. And I feel very confident that they will never listen to this episode, because I feel very confident on, if you are listening to this, I'll write you a check for $1,000, but it'll be from an old checking account that is no longer in existence. Sorry about it. But I will eat my words.
Stakes are sky high.
If my aunt and uncle find their way to listening to this, I will be so shocked, because I have tried to get them to watch live streams and they couldn't figure it out. So, and that was, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. But prove me wrong, Uncle. Prove me wrong.
The gauntlet is thrown.
Wow, this took a turn. I didn't realize I was going to lay down a gauntlet today.
Wow, we have family trauma.
It's the competitive spirit of talking about games. That's what got
it. It brings up a lot. It brings up emotions and our characters and what matters to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jason, when you heard the word game revealed tonight, is there anything that you got excited that you thought we'd tackle that we didn't get to? What do you have any last thoughts or offerings for the listeners about games and in media, games and television?
Oh gosh. I think my broad take would be because I thought we'd cover like reality based strategy games. It just like always feels like another sort of minor expertise of me. And so was ready to dive into like social strategy of that.
Oh, like a survivor.
A survivor, a big brother.
I have watched you facilitate these games in real life as well.
Yes. So love, if anyone has an apartment in New York City that wants me to be a game master for a day-long big brother game, like, please, would love to involve you on that journey.
So what I'm hearing is, one, we should do, we'll have to have you back in the future to talk about this. But two, we're going to have to do a We Stand sponsored Big Brother Day. We're going to have to figure out how to make this happen.
It's life-changing. Yeah. I've seen the best moments of television in the floor of someone's apartment, just like playing that game. It's truly amazing. Okay.
Well, Stans, you're going to need to slide into our DMs. Let us know. If we hosted this, would you play? Who wants to play?
Would you play? Who wants to come?
We need a Jeff Probst.
If we get enough... You know, Jeff is thirsting for it.
Jeff listens.
He's ready.
He's a Stan.
The thing is that Jeff has a lot of notes every week, and I just refuse to take them.
It's a little much. Like, he just needs to stay in his lane.
Yeah, yeah. I don't come to his house and tell him what to do. Mostly because I don't want to go to his house. Because I feel like it would be really stressful. It's so far. It feels like it'd be stressful. It
takes so many boats to get there. Just like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So many boats.
Because he does live on whatever island they're filming on.
He has enough money to buy Fiji now.
Well, that's fine. That's certainly positive for the world.
Made me sad as soon as I said it, so I'm just going to acknowledge that, but I didn't say that as a good thing.
Well, Jason, if our stands want to find you on your way to accruing a unethical amount of money, where can they see or listen to you?
On Twitter is my favorite social media app of the moment. I just got Circles and I'm really excited about that. But yeah, Jason. Ooh. Yeah, it's very exciting. But yeah, Jason _ Sweeten. Sweeten like you sweeten your coffee. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, nice. Sweeten your Twitter.
Yes.
By following Jason Sweeten. Well, you know, you can follow us across all social media platforms at We Stan Social. Will you play games with us? What would you like to see at such a game night?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Who wants to play True American with me? Who wants to play Big Brother IRL? Let us know. Sound off. And while you're at it, let us know what topics you think we should get into next.
Yeah. A great place to do that would be in a 5-star review.
A 5-star review. Classic mess around territory.
And that's where you can win. If you have that spirit, a competitive spirit, leave a 5-star review before your friend does.
Ooh, that's a good game. That's a good game, yeah. Only winners, no losers. That's right.
Oh my God. Well, good game, everybody.
Good game.
Good game. Michelle Gallo.